a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I'm Medina, Medina, Medina to Nabi. Medina, Medina, Medina to Nabi.
In my dreams, I make my way to Medina, the home and chosen place of our beloved prophet, where all I feel is peace and so much joy around. No better place for me. Yeah, Medina, Medina, Medina to Nabi. Medina, Medina, that's where I wanna be. Medina, Medina, Medina to Nabi. Medina, Medina, that's where I wanna be. Morning light in Medina. Everywhere I see blue skies, set above these mountains, bright colors fill the streets. A smile on every face, a special place for me. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim, powered by MPAC Muslim Public Affairs Center. And today we'll be talking about Eid Beyond Celebration, insights for after Ramadan. I'm sorry, we're starting slightly a bit beyond, slightly before after schedule. It's basically due to some technical issues. We'll be joined today by a guest, Ustaz Sherif Dean Ibrahim. And he'll be joining us virtually, insha'Allah. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sir, are you there? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, Ustaz.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please kindly put on your video.
My video, okay.
Yes, sir. How are you today, sir? And how's Ramadan going?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan.
Ameen wa
kum. Barakallahu fikum.
Ameen Allah. Naam, today's topic is Eid Beyond Celebration, insights for life after Ramadan. And to discuss this topic, like I mentioned, we are going to be joined by our Ustaz, Imam Sherif Dean Ibrahim. Imam Sherif Dean Ibrahim holds a master's degree in Islamic studies. He's the deputy director of Sharia compliance at the Halal Certification Authority, HCA, and the chief imam of Abule Okuta Temidire Central Mosque, Bariga, Lagos. He also serves as Naibul Amir Da'wah Affairs National Missioner. Yeah, he serves as National Missioner of the Muslim Congress National Headquarters. Imam Sherif Dean is a certified Sharia advisor on Islamic finance and a fellow at the Institute of Islamic Finance Professionals. So you will agree with me that Imam is quite an authority. Assalamu alaikum.
Astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Naam. So, Ustaz, today's topic, basically, you said Eid, you know, is often seen as a day of joy, a time of celebration, family gatherings, beautiful clothes, and shared meals. But beyond the excitement lies a deeper spiritual question. For 29 or 30 days, Ramadan trains the believer. We fast, we restrain our desires, we increase our prayers, reconnect with the Quran, and attempt to draw closer to Allah. Yet the real question begins when Ramadan ends, when the nightly prayers stop, when the mosques become quieter, and when the routines of ordinary life return. We are left to confront an important reflection. Did Ramadan truly transform us, or did we simply experience it? If Ramadan is a school of taqwa, then Eid should not merely mark the end of fasting. It should mark the beginning of a life shaped by the lessons we have learned. Today on Everyday Muslim, we explore how believers can move beyond the celebration of Eid and carry the spirit of Ramadan into everyday life. Now, to guide this reflection, Ustaz Sheriff Jean Ibrahim, I have a few questions for you. Eid is widely celebrated as a day of joy and festivity, but spirituality, it marks the completion of a month designed to transform the believer. How should Muslims understand Eid, not only as a celebration, but also as a moment of reflection on whether Ramadan has truly changed us?
Yes, Alhamdulillah, Inna Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, all praises are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. His peace and blessings be upon the best of mankind, the Adida Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his household, companions, and all believers in our accountability. So, esteemed listeners and the entire team of WFM. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peace and barakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Going by the question, yes, Eid is a day of celebration, no doubt. And we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the opportunity to witness this year's Eid and grant us the acceptance of all our deeds in the month of Ramadan. Going on a retrospect or reflection, Eid, by the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Holy Quran, more importantly, the Ramadan itself, the month of fasting, the goal of fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us understand in Suratul Baqarah verse 183, that the goal of fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may learn piety. So if it's that, if that is the goal, then while we are celebrating, Muslims, we need to understand Eid in that respect as well. We need to transfer the opportunity we have learned, or the understanding, or the objective of fasting itself. We need to let that reflect in our Eid. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Okay. Ustaz, please, so, kindly pause for a moment. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we lost that call. Sorry. You can call us on 0700-0700-917917 in case you want to join the conversation. Yeah, Ustaz, please go ahead, sir. Ustaz Sheriff Dean.
Ustaz Sheriff Dean. No. I'm with you.
Okay, sir.
Am I
audible? Yeah, audible, sir.
Can I go on?
Yes, please continue.
Okay. Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like I was saying earlier, Eid, the goal of fasting is to learn piety, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in that verse. So there should be a connection between the goal, the objective of fasting, which is to learn piety, and the celebration of Eid that we will be having. So there should be a connection between the two.
No.
So what it means is this. During the 30 days of Ramadan, or 29 days of Ramadan, we have learned piety. We have learned fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have understood what being a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually means on us. While we are celebrating, while we are happy that Ramadan has ended, mm-hmm. while we are celebrating, we are eating, we are drinking, enjoying ourselves, while we now have that freedom to eat at any time that we can now eat, mm-hmm. when those injunctions are being released, then we need to show the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that freedom that we now have.
No.
We don't need to go overboard. We don't need to start accruing sins on the day of Eid.
No.
The Eid celebration should be a reflection of, have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted my act of worship that I've done in Ramadan?
No.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured me of acceptance of all my deed, my fasting, my tilawatul Quran, my standing up in the night, day and night, observing the nawafil, this should be what we should ensure that our aid revolve around.
No.
This should be the goal that we need to transfer into our aid. No. So that means that while celebrating the aid, for instance, no. somebody that have spent 29 days abstaining from sins, consumption of alcohol, for instance,
no.
having relationship, obscene relationship with the opposite sex, for instance, no. misuse of your speeches, your pronouncement, your words, for instance, all this needs to be within the bound Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. For instance, when we are fasting, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in saba wa ahadun aw jahila, that if someone should abuse you while you're fasting or ignorantly relate with you, the Prophet said, tell the person in Nisa'im, I'm fasting. What is that demonstrating? Is to demonstrate restraint, is to demonstrate piety.
Sorry,
that you don't need to go all down low with that person.
No. Sorry, we have a
caller. Can I continue?
We have a caller. I would like to quickly take the call.
Okay.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Good.
Oh, we lost that call again. So sorry, Alstaz. Didn't mean to break the line of thoughts. It's just that when our callers call in like that, we try to accommodate them. Now, so thank you so much for sharing your insights. It's been quite a deep reflection, you know, to say that everything that we've done during Ramadan, we need to still, amidst our celebration on Eid, have those reflections that we should continue and carry on those acts of piety that Allah has enjoined us to do during Ramadan. Now, thank you, Ustaz. We'll be going on a short break very soon, but before then, during Ramadan, you know, during the, as the worship increases, temptations are restrained and the consciousness of Allah becomes stronger. Why do many believers then find it difficult to sustain this level of devotion once Ramadan ends? Ustaz, what do you think would be the cause of this?
Okay. I think if I could understand. Can I go ahead?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
All right, thank you. So the question is about why do we have a drop in our deeds when it is that during Ramadan?
Yes.
Why
is it difficult to sustain?
We learn to restrain.
Yes.
We control our temptations.
No.
And our consciousness rises. But why is it that we find it difficult to maintain this level of piety, devotion, when Ramadan is gone?
No.
Various reasons that could lead to that. Obviously, there are those that Allah grant success to the degree that they are able to maintain their level of piety after Ramadan. You know, we have different people that welcome Ramadan.
No.
There are those that welcome Ramadan in the state of piety, in the state of devotion. Mm. And when Ramadan comes, they see Ramadan as an opportunity to hype and up their game, to increase their level of commitment, devotion to Allah, and then serving Him the more, like we have learned from the Salaf. Then we have those that start Ramadan or welcome Ramadan just on saying Ramadan as a continuation of, like we say in Yoruba language, that some see Ramadan as they will say, "Ison biogbawe," you know, describing Ramadan as a form of
just the pause.
The necessary.
Yes.
And is that we can't do away with? They just keep coming, have to come. So.
No.
Five. Oh, I've been instructed, directed to fast. So I'll just fast.
Mm.
So when such people leave Ramadan, what do you expect? So what I'm trying to say is this. The intention matters.
No.
The reality or understanding of what Ramadan stands for really matters.
No.
Those that sees Ramadan as an injunction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they really relate with it at that level.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that sincerity while practicing Ramadan. Obviously, they will be granted success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happens, scholars have given some samples or tips about what are the alamat, what are the signs of the acceptance of your deed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to maintain what you are doing in Ramadan and to continue it after Ramadan. That's a sign of acceptance. So where people could not maintain or sustain the level of piety, level of consciousness and devotion they had in Ramadan, after Ramadan, some of the reasons scholars have given include the intention, like I started from, لو أرادوا الخروج لعدوا له عدة ولكن كره الله بعصاه. Allah says, if they are intended to go out in compliance with the injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have prepared for it, the right preparation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes their complying with the injunction. And I dislike they are going out for the expedition. Why? Because they had the wrong intention. So for that too, the intention will affect how people relate after Ramadan. So the intention, somebody that you know had that good intention, the right intention at the start, will only see Ramadan as a burden that have been taken away from him. And he believes, oh, it's an opportunity to be free. And in that process, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانِ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي. Shaitan will now take him away from the remembrance of his Lord. And Shaitan will deceive him that, oh, you have to rest. You have fasted for 30 days. You have fasted for 29 days. And it will fall into that, forgetting and dropping all those devotion he had when he was in Ramadan. Number two, some of the reasons why people drop when such things happen is people get deceived by what they have done in Ramadan. Oh, in Ramadan, I stood up all through the nights. Oh, in Ramadan, I was able to finish 2 rounds of the Quran twice. Oh, I was able to do this. Oh, I was able to do this. So, you know, that person has amplified or is for his deed as something special, as something too great, and is now being deceived by that. So such sense or thinking also affects people to also, you know, drop, because they will feel, oh, you have done something. And like I said earlier on too, in the first instance, Shaitan also sets in. It helps that person to, you know, continue to be deceived in his good deeds that he has done. But for believers, one of the things that we need to do, if truly we have engaged in Ramadan rightly, learned the piety, is to create the shield, the necessary shield that will protect you from falling back into those sins or falling back into those iniquities that could you know, bring you down low before your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then bringing down the standard he expects from you as his servant. So, what...
Thank you, Ustaz.
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Thank you so much, Ustaz. It's really, everything that you're saying is really cause for deep reflection, because sustaining the habits that one has cultivated during Ramadan is quite as important as actually doing them in the month of Ramadan. So these tips that you have shared definitely is going to assist and it's going to serve as a reminder for us, so that we don't feel that, okay, we've arrived, we've done everything during Ramadan, and now it's time to rest. And this is not to say that one should not marry. Of course, it's Eid, and one has, you know, worked for 29 or 30 days. But all those tips and those reminders, those shields, help us to be steadfast even beyond Ramadan. Thank you so much, Ustaz, for sharing your insights. Now we'll have to go on a quick break. When we come back, we will take more of your insights, inshallah. Meanwhile, our viewers can call us on phone lines 07-00-917-917. I'll take it again, 07-00-917-917. We'll be going on a short break. Please don't touch that dial. Stay with us.
Women Radio 91.7, breaking the culture of silence.
His Royal Majesty Kábíyèsí Aláyélúwà Ọba Dr. Kehinde Gbadewolé Olúgbénlé FNIVS FNIM RSV DSC DLITT Asade Agunloye the Fourth Olu Ofilaro, Paramount Ruler of Yewa Land and Chairman of the State Council of Oba, hosts the 5th Men Only Town Hall Meeting in Ilaro, Ogun State. This Men Only Town Hall Meeting brings together custodians of our culture to discuss the important roles men play in protecting women and girls while fostering stronger family and community bonds. Date, Tuesday, 17th March 2026. Time, 11 a.m. prompt. Venue, Oba Olugbenle VIP Hall. Ashade, Agunloye Pavilion Ground, Ilaro, Yewa, Ogun State. This exclusive gathering is proudly initiated by Women Radio WFM 91.7, strictly by invitation only.
Nigeria, a nation of many languages and many tribes. We will stand together, live together, and grow together. United we stand, united we thrive. This message is brought to you by Women Radio WFM 91.7 FM.
Are you looking for a place to advertise your business at affordable rates, or a hall to host all your corporate events and conferences? Then don't look any further. For all your advert placements, live interviews, announcements, religious programs, event bookings, and lots more, give your business the boost and reach your target audience at an affordable rate here on Women Radio 91.7. What are you waiting for? Hurry now! Call the numbers 0905-555-8998, 0806-009-2137, or 0816-060-5673, or email us at sales@wfm917.
How long will it take you to confirm payment? For the past 1 hour, I'm so sorry. Our network is, I will just run out of data. Same excuse yesterday. It is data? Yes, One Data. One Data is an internet service provider with the best alternative and solution for unlimited speed. One Data provides fast and reliable internet service to organizations, homes, and places of interest in Nigeria. With One Data, you get to enjoy the premium internet service with dedicated unlimited internet speed at all times. 24/7 fantastic customer service and support. Enjoy a 1 month free subscription when you make a payment. Now is the time to say goodbye to downtimes. Sign up with One Data today on 0811-223-2671 or visit www.onedata.org. One Data, unlimited speed.
His Royal Majesty, Kapiesi Alayeluwa, Oba Dr. Kengde, Badewole, Olugbenle, FNIVS, FNIM, RSV, DSC, DLITT,
Asade Agunloye the Fourth,
Olu of Ilaro, Paramount Ruler of Yewa Land, and Chairman of the State Council of Oba, hosts the fifth men-only town hall meeting in Ilaro, Ogun State. This men-only town hall meeting brings together custodians of our culture to discuss the important roles men play in protecting women and girls while fostering stronger family and community bonds. Date, Tuesday, 17th March 2026. Time, 11 a.m. prompt. Venue, Oba Olugbenle VIP Hall. Ashade, Agunloye Pavilion Ground, Ilaro, Yewa, Ogun State. This exclusive gathering is proudly initiated by Women Radio WFM 91.7. Strictly by invitation only.
I feel that there's some sort of lack of professionalism in this because we're talking about 100 lives.
Government has to also put in place a structure to make it look like what they have in mind.
Join us on our lens on Women Radio 91.7 FM.
How do we stop crime in the society? Because at the end of the day, if a man cannot provide for his wife anymore, he looks for other means.
We should address Nigeria. Our lens every Monday to Friday by 9:05 a.m. as women across Nigeria tackles trending issues, one honest, thought-provoking discussion at a time. Because when women speak, the world listens.
Appreciation. Mo dupe onibuore baba bope mi.
I'm grateful for my family, for my mommy, for our business.
I'm grateful for my family, grateful for my work.
I'm grateful for God's favor over my life. I'm grateful for growth. I'm grateful for prosperity and His grace over me and my family.
Yes. What are you grateful for? Share with us that one thing you're grateful for. Every Saturday morning, 8:30 on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Tell us what you're grateful for.
8:30 a.m. Saturdays on Women Radio 91.7 FM is all about gratitude and thanksgiving.
So, what are you grateful for?
WFM 91.7.
Welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's still your host, Latifa Oluwakemi Sadiq, and you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio, sponsored by MPAC. Ustaz, we're being joined by Imam Sharif Din Ibrahim. Ustaz, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Naam. So we've been discussing the topic of today. Now we're still on the topic Eid Beyond Celebration, insights for life after Ramadan. And Ustaz has been telling us a lot about, you know, what we can do to sustain the temple even after Ramadan. But now, one of the beautiful things about Ramadan is the heightened compassion people feel for the poor and the vulnerable. Why does this spirit of generosity sometimes fade away after Ramadan? And how can Muslims make compassion a year-round responsibility rather than a seasonal feeling? Ustaz, what do you think?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think the act of compassion is one of the traits that we have learned in Ramadan already. In addition to the taqwa, the fear of Allah, and our closeness to the Quran, the worship that we do, part of the act or gains or lessons that we do learn from Ramadan is the act of compassion, sharing love, kindness to people. And you see our environment, it becomes part of the traits of understanding that Ramadan is around. When you're in the mosque, you see people bring gifts to people, people share iftar, people do family meetings to respond, to sponsor people in Ramadan, to feed people, to support household, and help the needy. Yeah, these are meritorious acts that basically should not stop in Ramadan. And I think that is the goal, that is the lesson. Because Ramadan has come as an institution to learn, and having learned all those things, we need to now continue to live by that all through the 11 months after Ramadan. So as Muslim communities, Muslim individuals that have been engaged in that act of charity, compassion in Ramadan, we don't need to let it stop and end in Ramadan. We need to continue that engagement. We need to look around and see how we can do the continuation of that act, even if it will not be at the level we had in Ramadan, but to still ensure that we give regular charities to people, even if it's in small amounts. We do share dates for people to break their fast, share food for people to break their fast. While after Ramadan has gone, you see how poor people around, needy people around, families, household that need interventions, that need support. So you can take, based on your level, continue to give those regular charity. Regular charity even including to support Islamic organizations, mosque centers, Islamic centers, outfit like yours too, need such support. So people don't need to think that everything ends in Ramadan. We need to also continue after Ramadan to do community support. That is supporting communities or with some welfare programs. Talk about the schools or schools of orphans or even the orphans within the community. Don't forget the orphans. Don't forget the divorcees. You know, all these are social problems that we have around our environment that need such intervention. Which we need to also and then so the court institution after Ramadan. Even though a lot of people, you know, uphold their zakat payment in Ramadan, zakat is not only meant to be paid in Ramadan. It depends on the month that you have chosen as your cycle of renewal. Outside Ramadan too, you can have a month outside Ramadan as your cycle of payment annually. So that act continues. Mm-hmm. Then we need to stay ensure that one way or the other we stay connected with the needies in our society and environment. So through that, I think we can maintain or sustain that act of charity, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us understand, khairukum anfaqukum linnas, that the best among you is the one that is beneficial to others most. You know, the best among Muslims is the one. So through that charity intervention or engagement, we'll be able to do just that in the right way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. And more importantly, the goal is to earn reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for visibility or show off or to polish your name or your brand. Is ab initio to satisfy Allah and earn his pleasure. Allah.
May Allah continue to assist. It is even said that the best types of, you know, acts of goodness and charity are the ones where the right hand gives and the left hand doesn't even know. So it's indeed important that, you know, we continue these acts of charity, these acts of ibadah all year round. Some people would say that they have a particular budget for their yearly salary or income where they say, ah, okay, this amount is going to go for charity. And then there are people that, even if they cannot afford to do that, they can say, okay, while I'm buying fuel, help me change this amount of money, and then, you know, this is what I'm going to give through the week. Okay, it seems we have a caller. Let's take the call.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to the program.
My name is Hirat Sodi. I want to appreciate our imam for reminding us all these things, because I know people know all these things. They have the intention, but human beings are people that forget very quickly. We forget. So I want to ask our imam, sir, don't you think the imams that are leading us have a role to play in this whole issue?
No.
Knowing fully well that we forget things very quickly.
No.
People are eager to finish the Ramadan and celebrate. People go out of their way at times to even carry on things that they left behind during Ramadan. Even the charity you are talking about, the imams themselves feel they should give them things during Ramadan more than after Ramadan. Don't you think the imams have a big role to play in reminding people on a continuous basis that all these activities have to continue? Most of the lectures we do during Ramadan are centered on Ramadan, give this. Why don't you continue this advocacy, this sermon after Ramadan, and ensure that it's also on a continuous basis? Please, sir, I want you to emphasize this in your own way, so that our imams, our leaders, our religious leaders can also know that they have a duty, they have a role. Their intention should not be just collecting and collecting during Ramadan. It should be a continuous thing. Thank you very much, sir. Well done, Sister.
Jazakallah khairan. So, Ustaz, you heard our caller. And a lot of it is what we've been discussing so far, you know, to say that how can we carry on the acts that we've done inside Ramadan, beyond Ramadan. Ustaz, are you there? Ustaz Sherif Din, are you there, sir? Okay, I think there's a network. While we are dealing with that, thank you for calling. You can still reach us on the number 070-0091-7917. That is the number to call to express your thoughts on this program. Now, as Muslims, because we are a bit pressed for time now, we prepare to celebrate Eid. We know that we need to get the nice clothing, nice dresses, and food and drinks and all of those things in preparation for Ramadan. But when it comes to the prophetic traditions associated with the day, a lot of people are not aware and, you know, tend to forget easily some of those key practices that the Prophet encouraged, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on Eid. So I want Imam to also highlight some of the key Sunnah practices of Eid that Muslims should revive and observe during and after Eid. Just in one moment. Ustaz, are you there? Please kindly unmute yourself. We can't hear you, Ustaz. You need to unmute your mic.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Talking about continuation of the good deeds that we did in Ramadan, after Ramadan, I think we need to be intentional about it.
No.
When we are intentional about that act and the need to sustain or continue it, then we need to basically plan for it and organize ourselves.
No.
Number two, one of the things that will help us in continue that act is to show high level of remorse and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for passing through Ramadan, and show high level of remorse. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking, besieging Him for acceptance of our deeds that we have done in Ramadan. So that it doesn't get into our head. We don't feel boastful about it, like I said earlier on. And I think that said, bismillah, we need to add prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sabitini ala millatika, O Allah, sustain me on your path. So that will also add aid upholding that attitude, because you can't do anything without prayer. So when Allah grants you tawfiq, then it will be easier to continue. I'm talking about some of the etiquettes or practice that we need to just remind ourselves regarding the aid. The first one, very important, is giving the zakat and sitting. Very important.
Yes.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Layl Umar has described, has made zakat al-fitr obligatory upon Muslims before going to the Eid prayer. So that's is basic. So we need to get the understanding and the knowledge of giving zakat al-fitr, so we're able to pay accordingly. It is obligatory, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Number two is performing the ghusl, that is taking the ritual bath before the Eid. Number three, for time's sake,
only men
is
or women?
wearing good clothes.
Okay.
Shall I continue?
Yes, I was asking if the guslu applies to both genders, male and female, or is just the male for the ritual bath. Ustaz, can you hear me?
I'm hearing.
Okay. I was just saying briefly that the guslu, does it apply to just the men, or the male and the female, for the guslu that is required for Eid?
Yes, it's for both, for male and female.
No. Just go ahead, sir.
All right. So the third one is wearing good clothes. And for male, you can apply perfume while going out for Eid. But for female, you cannot apply perfume while going out. But as wife, you can use it within your apartment, within your room, within your house, to satisfy yourself, your husband, and be within the ambience that Sharia permits. And wearing good clothes could include, if you are buoyant, could buy new clothes to make your family happy. If you don't have, you can still use or maintain the existing clothes that you have. Just put it in good shape. Wash, iron, and make them look good. You are good to go. Number four is ensuring that you eat before going to the Eid prayer. That's because we have fasted for 29 or 30 days, so you need to fast to Eid. You need to eat while going for Eid. Then the fifth one is the recitation of the takbirat. That is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one of the things that Eid signifies is to celebrate the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to celebrate the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that takbirat starts from when the sun sets a day before Eid. So you continue to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd, in simple terms.
So it is not as enshrined for Eid al-Adha that you repeat after every prayer, but that celebration should be a conscious recitation that you can continue to read anywhere you are, but not as enshrined for Eid al-Adha. And it ends when you get to the Musalla on the day of Eid. That's the following day. On the day of Eid, when you get to Musalla, that takbirat ends at that instance. Part of the etiquette for Eid is also ensuring that you go to Eid through a path and you return through a different path. If that's possible, if it's not possible, if it's still the same path that you went through, that you have to come through, no problem. But the sunnah is what we have said. Scholars have looked at the reason why that the Prophet used to do that, and they have given several accounts which time or reasons may not permit us to delve into. And it's also good or meritorious or reported as or recommended to walk to where you are going. That's a trek to the Eid, provided the Eid is within the ambience where you go. Do the trekking. So because trekking or walking to that is to make Islam visible in the environment and make the Eid visible in the environment for people to see the grace of Allah upon the Muslim Ummah, to see the joy, happiness within the Muslim community. And that is very important. But where that is not possible for you, you can go with your ride, go with your car, and with your family. That's still fine. And attending the Eid in congregation. Okay. In fact, on the day of Eid, for women that are menstruating, mm-hmm. women that are doing the post-birth, passing through the post-birth period,
no.
they are also recommended to attend Eid, mm-hmm. even though they will not be observing the Salat, mm-hmm. but, you know, to support and give
that moral
solidarity
support.
To no. the Muslim community
no.
during Eid, so that we all go there together. This thing on the side, they will not observe the Salat, but to give that strength, solidarity to the Muslim community on a day of Eid. Part of it is to also be moderate in what we eat and what we drink, and be conscious of Allah all through. Allah and
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I mean, these are really, really great insights that you've shared with us. And if not for want of time, we could go on and on about everything surrounding Eid, life beyond Eid, even after Ramadan. Tips, you've given us amazing tips on how to sustain the temple and to pray to Allah to make it easy for us too. You've also shared about the practices that we're supposed to do to and from Eid, which is really important. And this conversation has been very insightful. Thank you so much, sir. Jazakumullah khairan jaza.
Alhamdulillah.
We hope that the
Wayakum.
Alhamdulillah. Ameen, ameen. May Allah
alhamdulillah. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this. Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept the zakat of ibadah from all of us.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Thank you so much to our sponsors, to our listeners, to WFM, to MPAC, and to everyone, Jazakallah khairan. May Allah make us witness many more Ramadans and many more Eids, inshallah. We have come towards the end of the program today, and I hope that it has been very insightful. I personally learnt a lot. I've been reminded by Ustaz a lot of things today. And we are grateful. A lot of people were trying to call in. We saw that. But I think there's been glitches in network. May Allah continue to make it easy. We encourage us to continue to listen to our program. It happens every Saturday morning between 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the program is still Everyday Muslim on WFM Women's Radio. And it's courtesy MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Center. Thank you so much. Jazakumallah khairan jaza. I remain your host for today, Latifa Oluwakemi Sadiq. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Shukran ya Rabbi.
شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
WFM.